Welcome back, Pings, episode 148. That's a lot of episodes.
Yeah.
Granted, I wasn't here for several. A lot. Most.
Any.
including last week. So how was it, Paul?
It was awesome.
It's your first time hosting with the light bulb.
Yes, it was.
Isn't he a gem?
He is. He is. He's filled with filament.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Useful tidbits of information.
Absolutely.
And scary, deep, dark thoughts, which is why we love him.
And the audience apparently loved him because it's Boys Without Foys.
Whatever. And in honor of that, I think, like Paul suggested earlier, that we should read every single comment you guys got.
Every single one of them.
Every single comment.
I mean, we're going to make time for this.
Bob might have to speed it up.
Let's go with the first comment.
Okay, so it says, this is by Herb, who just beat me at Words by Post, by the way. You keep declining my
I don't even open that app anymore.
Anyway.
Let's play Wordament at the same time, so you win.
We can do that.
Yeah?
Anyway, Herb says.
Because I just got world champ achievement.
Oh, what does that mean?
It means I'm in the top 250 players.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a lot of free time, Paul.
No, it just means I'm really good.
Yeah.
I have much to learn still, Master.
Anyway, continue with our first of many comments.
Yes, all the comments we're going to read. So Herb says, Larry is back again. Woot. Is Larry the new Laura? Bincubator. Oh my, who comes up with these names? P.S. Unboring show.
I don't think there was any who in there, but yeah.
Just, I breathed accidentally. I didn't mean to do that. If I could do it again, it would go more like, woo!
Yeah. We'll probably just speed these up to get through. Oh, wait.
Let's go ahead and read.
Okay. That was
all the
only
comment.
So maybe the Boys Without Foys wasn't the most engaging, but now that we have Foy back here.
Yeah. Well, you know, guys, go ahead and I mean, obviously comment on this week's video, because this is priority number one, but go ahead and comment on last week's video, episode 147, just so, like, Paul's ginormous ego doesn't get reduced to something small, pea-sized like.
Right, like the size of Laura's brain.
Let's start the show.
Okay.
All right, Paul, so you never have a text conversation with whoever, your mom, right?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that you've done.
Yep.
Gotcha. So you're having a text conversation and, like, maybe you try to say something funny, but, like, it doesn't translate well over text, and your mom's like, what? And you're like, sorry, you didn't get your tone.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
or this happens in email, where you're like, this is so funny, and then the other person gets offended, because you're like, no, you're reading it wrong. Has this ever happened to you? I've offended a few people. Have you never offended anybody?
I think I have really good sense of humor. All the time. In every form.
I'm beginning to see a pattern here.
I mean, I feel that way as well about myself, but I'm speaking of others who may not get it.
Nope, everyone gets it. I know it. I know exactly how to talk to everybody.
Perfect. Well, I've had this problem. Anyway, the way you say things and the tone. All right, calm down. He's going to cry. He thinks he's so funny, he's turning all red. I don't even know if we can go on. I believe there's tears forming. Anyway, the
see
way
how
we
funny
say,
I am?
That was funny. I'll give you that one. Let's see if you can do it again.
Okay.
Okay. So hold our breaths.
No time for that now. The computer's starting.
The way you say things is very important. There's a tone that is implied. And so now Microsoft Research is teaming up with an institute affiliated with the University of California, Berkeley. Very smart people.
UC Berkeley.
And trying to put this sort of to use in an application that will help us in our interaction. Hey. It'll help us in our interaction with computers. So essentially, come on.
Yeah, no, absolutely, yeah. So this is a really interesting way that we can try and help computers understand our speech patterns or our typing patterns or texting patterns. And one of the examples that they gave is in something that's called a prosody, where you can understand the different intonation as people are talking. So if someone were to say one word, but have a different intonation, it can mean very different things. Like, for example, if you had asked me a question, mm-hmm. like, when do you want to grab lunch?
Right.
I could say something like, today.
Right.
Which would be, like, a definitive answer. Or I could respond with, today, as if, mm-hmm. like, I'm uncertain if you're available today.
Right.
When you
I
are...
would never ask you to lunch, by the way.
Right. I know. There's a total...
Hypothetical!
The power distance is way too strong, so I know you feel uncomfortable asking someone like me to lunch.
It would be awkward for me. Anyway, I think this is interesting. There's a couple things that I just personally wanted to comment on in terms of, like, computers and speech recognition and them understanding our tone. First of all, Why do they make computers when they speak back to you? Why does it still have that terrible computer voice?
Well, it doesn't.
It does.
Well, it depends what terrible computer voice is that you're listening to. But there's actually been a whole lot of improvements on that over the last 2 decades.
There have been some improvements, but I think we could go further. Like, let's talk about my nav. My nav in my car,
yep.
My little voice that talks to me
mean,
to tell me
you
where
mean
to go.
The nav in your car that hasn't been updated in, how old's your car? What year is it?
It's a 2011.
Okay. So that was then made in 2010, which means...
But they sent an update. They mailed me an update. Jeep, thank you. Sent me
they
an
mailed
update.
You an entire Jeep?
No, they mailed me a CD to put into my nav to install an update. And I did it.
Did the voice sound any better?
No, but I do have more options of, like, accent, male, female.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I use this woman's voice.
Is there, like, Valley Girl? That way it totally...
That would be fun.
Like,
that
totally recalculating.
There's Western Girl. There's Western Girl. They're like...
Y'all make left on.
See?
Yeah.
This is brilliant. This is breakthrough technology.
But yes, that's exactly.
See, you
what
got that joke too. See, I'm 100% in this segment.
This is a good one for you. This is what we're working on at UC Berkeley. My nav and their different accents.
Yeah, I highly doubt that UC Berkeley is working on specifically those things. They're probably trying to actually make it so that computers can make sense of what we're saying versus, you know, making a hair flip and someone autos.
You never know. You never
you're
do
right.
Know.
I do never know.
You never know. You never, this could be what we're working on. So we'll just have to wait and see. All right, loyal Ping viewers. Apparently, there was some blunder made and big news made. Where and you have to explain this.
How
to me.
Big was the news? Like, what was big about it?
It was very big, Paul.
Got it.
Apparently, some Microsoft coder, you can correct me on some of these details here.
I always do.
He put in somewhere in his line of code, he put in a bunch of letters and
it
numbers.
Was a hexadecimal.
A hexadecimal, what?
Yeah, it was a line of hex.
Line of hex.
So it's like 0x, and then it went on and showed B16, B00, B5.
Right, which I guess, to some people, looks like the word... Big boobs, right?
I mean, anyone that knows leet speak, I'm sure, totally understands that.
Sure, so they got it. So some guy was coding some project or whatever, and he put this in thinking...
And now, our feature presentation.
And it didn't hurt anyone, but people found it, right?
Yeah.
And people were like, oh, this is terrible.
Well, I think the people that found it were kind of thinking like, oh, this is a little bit of an Easter egg. It wasn't that big a deal,
right.
But it was worth commenting on. And then as like the non-coders came in,
right.
They were like, oh, I need to be offended by this.
Right.
Because of, for whatever reason. But now like there's actually kind of an interesting discussion going on about how coders are, you know, not really secure around women and sexuality.
Oh, is that what this has led to?
And kind of like a boys' club.
Sometimes I have trouble talking to girls.
Oh, right. Yeah, well, they are saying it could be a deterrent for women. It's not, women aren't really welcome in the coding, you know, rooms. And that is as a career. But personally, I find this to be hysterical. How happy were you? Let's go back. How happy were you when you were playing, you know, Super Mario Brothers?
And Mario?
Like, yeah.
Mario. Super Mario Brothers.
Mario.
Not again.
All right,
New
continue.
York, his name is Mario.
Yeah? Where were you born?
New York.
Okay. Where'd you grow up?
New York.
Where'd you go to college?
New York University.
Where do you live now?
Rainy state of Seattle.
How do you say experiment?
Experiment. Anyway, and that's correct, and you are incorrect. So anyway, how happy were you when you found those first Easter eggs? It was like the first game I really ever
played. I was wondering what you were really going to put at the end of that sentence when I first found... Oh, the Easter eggs, yes.
Yeah. Like where you're marching along your little platformer game and boop, and there's a magic thing that wasn't there, you know, and the mushroom comes out, and you're like, oh my God, how'd that happen? That's so cool. I didn't even know those things existed. That was my first experience with that. So people love Easter eggs. This is cool. This is fun. You found it. That's awesome.
Yep.
There's so many more offensive things somebody could write than... Big boobs. Big boobs is not really that offensive. I think it's just a little boy trying to fight. It could have been a girl.
This is exactly what you were talking about in the previous segment where someone typed something and someone else didn't find it funny and they got offended.
Right.
And
if only they could make these, first of all, just referring on the previous segment, I had a great idea for an invention. So I feel like in order to solve that problem of people not understanding what you made by writing it, why do we have to text? Why can't I just send a quick little voice message?
You can.
Where? How? And then they hear it as my voice?
Oh, I see.
So they have to hear it as my voice. They can't hear it read by their computer.
Voicemail's kind of broken right now. Where, like, I mean, you obviously can call someone and leave a voicemail.
Who checks their voicemail even these days? I certainly don't.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I think that if you do an MMS, you can actually add voice to it. But then they have to download it and, like, listen to it.
Right,
and
I think it should just be made as simple.
But I think that's
that
also...
would eliminate texting and driving. Because I'd be like, yo, meet you at 11 at the club. Well, and they would hear my voice saying, yo, meet you at 11 at the club. One button, done.
Well, you can hit a button and then it will do voice to text. And then people will get your text, and then their car can read it text to voice.
Right, but then we lose the whole tone of my.
I don't think a lot of people want to hear you.
Humor.
Like, I think people
I
download
could,
the video and just put it on
mute. My Texas voice from my nav, my Southern drawl voice, read the text message aloud. Anyway, we're off topic.
Yeah, we're
rat holing.
We're very off the.
Let's go back to the big boobs gap. Anyway. Personally, I don't know Microsoft's official stance, but
Microsoft's official stance was we apologize for having it in the code.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I guess they should have checked that out because some people might be offended. Personally, I wouldn't be offended. I think it's kind of funny. And I think even more funny is the fact that this company, gotopless.org, is now, they're offended that people are offended. So they've decided to go topless in the streets on August 26th?
Yeah, apparently this is their fifth annual topless march.
They are marching in protest of people being offended by the word big boob, so they're going to go with topless.
Yeah, and I guess there
always
was...
Always a good cause to fight for.
There was a politician in North Carolina that created the association called Go Brainless to counter the Go Topless action.
Mm-hmm. And I support both causes.
There are so many things that I can't really say right now. All right, and going with the theme and helping people understand each other while they're not physically present in the room and being able to see each other, there are actually...
That's our theme. It's very succinct. Yeah. We're going to get shirts made.
We'll totally get some t-shirts, maybe some hoodies. I think hoodies are very in now. But... There are all sorts of improvements that are going out there to help people understand who each other are, even though they've never met.
Right.
And there's been this thing called the Outlook Social Connector that can kind of combine information about a person. So as you're like looking at an email from somebody, you can get more contextual information. And now, what we're announcing is that in Outlook 2013, in the next version of Office, this is going to be built right into Outlook so that you can pull in data from Facebook and LinkedIn and potentially other social sources.
Yeah, I find this really, while some people are going to find it useful, I find this really scary.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I don't have the time to maintain a work profile and a personal profile and then like friends and family or a friends profile family. You know, like I just got it all in one.
Okay.
But that doesn't necessarily mean when I email so-and-so executive from the Windows phone team about blah, blah, blah interview, I want my Facebook pics of the weekend before that accessible to him.
Well, if he's not your friend on Facebook, then he's not going to be able to see those pictures.
Everybody's my friend on Facebook.
Oh,
you
see,
know I've
that's...
got like 3,000 friends.
Yeah, well, last I checked, you had like 1,800. But...
No. Go again.
Oh, okay. I'll
not
I'll
right
look.
Now.
Oh, okay.
No, let's do it like next show.
Oh, I see. Got it.
Once we've forgotten all about that.
Of course.
Yeah. He's going right now. Anyway, I understand the that it could be beneficial because you do want to know, especially LinkedIn, like your professional profile. I could see that coming in handy. Facebook, though, I just feel like, you know, and I don't even know if that's true because my Facebook profile is public.
Uh-huh.
So people who aren't my friends can still see my information.
I don't know if they can see all of your
information. They can't see all of my information, but they can see anything I post. So, like, because I've logged on to other people's accounts who aren't my friend, and they can see my wall, they can see things that I post. So, therefore, if I emailed blah, blah, blah executive from what Windows phone, he may have access to whatever I posted on my personal Facebook wall, even if he's not my friend.
If you don't want that to happen, perhaps you should secure your data on Facebook.
That sounds boring.
Yeah, it's also incredibly easy. Like, there's about maybe 2 minutes worth of work.
I don't know. I just feel that this is going to be trouble for people like me who live scandalous private lives.
Yeah, well, when your private life is public, then then you're just going to learn to deal with it. But this is actually, I think, very interesting. Like, there's a number of times where I'm getting emails from people that as I've traveled around, you know, we follow up and I don't really remember who they are.
Yeah.
So I'll find myself trying to find them on LinkedIn or Facebook or Twitter and like try and find a picture of their face, and then it dawns on me like who they are.
Well, one of the greatest, I guess it would be an application that I discovered here at Microsoft, and is we've got an application called Photo, I think it's called Photo View, whatever you can get from Codebox, and it brings up the picture of everyone's face in your Outlook.
Okay.
So that now I can that I find extremely handy, because then I got a face to put with the name, because I'm frequently emailing people I don't know.
Right.
You know, and then and if I meet you at the cafe for the meeting, now I know who I'm meeting. This comes in handy. Faces, pictures, good. Personal information, I get a little scared.
Well, and again, you need to secure your personal information. It's. I mean, it doesn't really take a whole lot for someone to take your name and type it into a search engine of any kind and find all sorts of information.
This, yeah, I don't really like that either.
Yeah. This,
if we could stop that from happening too.
This is just a way that, you know, people will not necessarily have to go through those great lengths of typing things in and certain information that will be easily and commonly available.
So kudos to the office team for coming up with this clever new feature, and I guess people like myself, I'm sure there's others out there who don't bother to secure their personal information. I'm gonna get like my credit cards hacked now, you know that.
Well, oh, that's another thing, is like there's actually a Twitter account that's called like @ you got a debit card or something, and all they do is they search for debit card pictures and they retweet them, because a lot of people are like, oh, I just got a new debit card, they take a picture and like all the numbers.
Oh, I'm not that stupid.
Oh okay, good.
I don't even think I'll let my license plate be photographed and placed online.
Oh, I'll have to update that one album then.
Yeah, exactly, and I won't go secure it, so there you go.
Okay.
All right, Paul, as if I don't already have enough commitments and obligations that I have barely any free time with the Real Housewives of New Jersey, Real Housewives of New York. You know, I've got MasterChef, there's Big Brother, I have to deal with Hell's Kitchen.
Do you watch Kitchen Impossible?
The American Ninja. What?
Kitchen Impossible. Do you watch that one?
I don't watch that
one.
Oh,
you should add that.
Great. So now, on top of all this, I can barely get anything done as it is. There's a new reality series coming out. Be the next Microsoft employee. That's right.
That sounds riveting.
Well, it's not going to be on Bravo like all my other favorite shows. Instead, it's going to be, it's actually online. And it is launching.
Is it going to be on the Channel 9 network?
It's not, but I do wish it was, and I might take this as an inspiration to start my own reality show, because I watched the trailer. And it's actually, I think it's pretty interesting. Obviously, it's not as interesting as Survivor. Hello. But the way that they've taken these four competitors, you know, with different sort of skill sets, I think they're all trained in SQL Server.
Oh, at least two of them were.
Yeah. And they're going to apply and go through, I guess, various competitions and whatever to become an actual Microsoft employee. And at the end, you get hired, which is great.
Yeah.
You know, and I've got, if you think of it outside of the realm of like of reality shows, you know, I'm constantly getting asked, how do you get a job at Microsoft? I'm sure you get asked all the time.
Yeah, just go to Microsoft.com/career and apply.
But, you know, what does it take?
Or what you could do is you could get filmed for however long this is.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure. I think the motivation here is this for recruiting? Is this to get people? Why are we doing this?
I don't know. I think someone had an extra graphics budget, and they're like, let's make a cool logo. And then they're like, let's build a show around it.
There you go.
I think that's how Ping was started.
Pretty much. Had some free time. Anyway, I think it's really cool, and it's just, for me, it's out of the box, and it's just a different way to get people excited about Microsoft, to sort of maybe change perception around Microsoft, to say, hey, we actually are cool. I wish that they had made the job that they were applying for something more out of the box. Like, everybody knows that if you're a programmer or a developer or, you know, some sort of software architect, Microsoft is a place for you. But what people I find are astounded to find out
is that technical evangelists also have jobs here.
That's right. And that there's jobs in, you know, design and working with the environment or working with charities or working, you know, in obviously marketing. Like
middle management.
Correct. There's a lot of opportunities here at Microsoft that aren't what you would stereotypically think. So I wish they had sort of shown that side, but maybe in season 2.
Maybe they will.
Maybe they will.
This is just like something that came out of the Microsoft Learning Group that was like, look, here you can learn a whole bunch of great stuff about Microsoft technologies, and if you're really good at it, we might even bring you in-house to be the next Microsoft employee.
So go ahead and check it out, and if there is a season 2, maybe you can audition, and you could be the next Microsoft employee, and if you are, maybe you can get a guest spot on Ping.
I wonder if they look for people that are just like really overly dramatic like they do in real reality shows.
Probably. They probably look for girls who are willing to maybe drink too much and take their tops off.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah, kind of like segment 2.
Exactly. And then like men who are like really racist.
Yeah.
Good television.
Yeah.
Okay. These people are going to get hired.
Awesome.
Good people. All right, everybody, that wraps up this week's episode of Ping. I had a great time.
I genuinely missed you, Laura.
Yeah, it was good times. Well, let's do it again next week.
I already asked Larry. And for the record, you have 2,200 Facebook friends.
Well, that just means I need you all to request me as your friend, 800 of you, very, very fast before next week.
And in the meantime, follow me at Paul Mess.
And follow me at L Boy. And we'll see you next week.
Later.